and activist show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, for 27 years. There we go. So, wow, Mitch Jezerich, right before this show, a great segue, deep, profound, and completely pertinent to what we're up to here as well, this show of liberating lightning, and everyone will get a metaphoric bag of liberating lightning in the course of the show, right? So I'm hosting Mary Greer, longtime divinatory ally since 1971, to honor her colleague Rachel Pollack. I'm just getting to know her. She died in April, and it's like, oh, we will explore this and the wonderful book that she wrote, the Beatrix Guide, Beatrix Gate. For a pledge of $100, but it's one of those books that I'm reading now and going and gasping, going, oh, that is so bold and radical and shape-shifting and metaphoric. So Mary is going to guide us to honor her colleague Rachel Pollack, yes, whose book The Beatrix Game we are proffering as a pledge incentive. Mary Greer is one of the world's leading tarot scholars and experts and mavens, famous by her outstanding, both exciting and useful tarot blog at marykgreer.com, author, teacher, and professional tarot consultant known for her innovative teaching techniques. Again, marykgreer.com. Welcome, Mary.
Hi, Caroline. It's so nice to be with you again.
It is. And so just because it's so crucial, we don't talk often, but we did have an ongoing profound connection in 1971, and we may tell it slightly differently, but we're in London. We don't know each other yet. I think we meet at the Astrological Lodge, the Astrological Lodge, there were some new people, young people, but it was sort of like they hadn't seen two young Americans ever. And then we started off our dedication then. Let's talk about that because it's ongoing. And then we discovered we were born on the same day. Different year, but same day.
Exactly.
Is that how you remember our coup?
Yeah, we were, they didn't take us seriously. They kind of looked at us and thought, oh, you're just playing around. Because most of the people that were the regulars there had been there for a long, long time. And they're also very seriously into the scientific discoveries. Well, there were two places, the Astrological Lodge of the Theosophical Society, and then what was the other one that was more into the science and math of it all? And they looked at us kind of askance. What were we doing there?
Yeah. See, I don't remember that way, but we all have our different perspectives about it. But the thing that we want to bring to us and resonating in all hearts is, you know, the power of dedication, you know, and whatever we're dedicated to, you know, it never ends. Because that was one of the things early in the astrology mythological realm, you know, to which we're both dedicated in our different ways. But when I sort of decided there really was a moment as a teenager, it was 1970, and I go, oh, this is the way to go. This organizes everything I'm interested in, magical participation, social change, ritual magic. This is it. And either it's completely true, in which case it's the only way to live, and even if it's not true, it's still the only way to live. So, and here we are. And, you know, we took our dedications and went with it. But so did Rachel Pollack also. The reason I mention that is she had her big kind of woof in 1971 as well. Do you remember that part of her narrative?
She was in London at the time and very much working with the gay liberation and most specifically the transsexual liberation movement, setting out some of the kind of ground rules and the demands for recognition at that time. Yeah, I didn't know her then, but also right. I was part of the first women's march that happened in 71.
We were all there. All right, so I can't imagine why I didn't meet her, but I'm so happy to meet her now. So the New York Times had a big obit, the Washington Post had a big obit. She's a substantial person, and it's wonderful to honor her to begin honoring her this hour, because as I'm reading along, you know, going, oh, I want, and there's a great, I posted YouTube connection to her on tarot, just really brilliant. All of it, you know, and so it's a beginning. It's like, I'm gonna get to know this Rachel Pollack even more. I'm so glad. I'm meeting so many allies who just died before I met them. You know, and that's also part of what we do, what radio does in a way, going here, you know, meet this person and explore their work and see how it hums with your own. The New York Times, Obit, pretty good. She said, quoting her, she said, each card seems a frozen moment in a story. The cards originated as images, not doctrines or the set of meanings we attach to them. This allows them to pull together strands and possibilities to create stories that are meaningful in people's lives. And we go, yeah, that's super wonderful. And then she did her radical, I also have this posted on the promo, her radical transgender DC Comics hero, Kate Godwin, known as Coagula. And I go, oh, that's so cool. She could solway things with one hand, dissolve it, and Coagula bring them together with the other. I'm like, oh, this is so inspiring. I mean, I find, you know, reading her and then seeing this, it's like, it's bold and it's so inspiring, meaning it hums in all of us, in which it's like, oh, doors are opening for, like, oh, the realms of metaphoric play. She's so good that way. And you both taught tarot together for many years, right?
Yeah, for almost 37 years since we first met in Amsterdam at the Cosmos Center for New Age Knowledge. Yes, she was teaching there, and they had invited me over after my book, Tarot for Yourself, came out to speak, and they gleefully brought the two of us together, saying, we think you will enjoy each other. And we did. We hit it off right away.
Yeah. Well, it's, and I find it so pertinent to us all now. And I'm just reading the cartoon, even though you can't, you know, see the images. Character says to the, you know, I just realized you could be a superhero. Actually, I tried, and I went and applied for the Justice League. I even made up a superhero name for myself, Coagula. They brushed me off. Like what you were saying, Mary, about us and the old-timers at the Astrological Lodge. I suspect they liked my powers but couldn't handle me. So I guess I have to give up the superhero business and go on being myself. And then there's a giant button that says, put a transsexual lesbian on the Supreme Court. We go, yeah, that's great. That's really wonderful. Well, the redemptive original partnering of divination and cultural change that runs throughout what I'm running across in Rachel's work and the really all of her work, oh my goodness, but the Beatrix Gate that we're offering by our wonderful publishing allies, PM Press, you know, and again, it's anarchism and magic together because they started off together and then split as a mean trick of the reality police, and now everything's coming back together. It's really, really wonderful. So just to do a little kind of magnetizing, and everybody gets a complimentary bag of Liberating Lightning. We'll animate that later in the show. But Beatrix Gate, I love this book. By Rachel Pollack for a pledge of $100 by calling 800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. And also offering my Equinox address, pretty fantastic, from Viroqua, Wisconsin, on the Equinox. Really rousing, great team. We played part of it last week. We have just a little bit later for Liberating Lightning and the practice of dissolving grievance. Oh, it's a daily practice. It's a daily practice. And then the usual wonderful, you know, occult features of anarchism. Oh, so good. For a pledge of $100 from last week. Mutual Aid, Kropotkin, for a pledge of $150. That's so essential. 800-439-5732. All right, now back to us. So, you know, I just want to, well, just our cahooting, Mary Greer, because again, 1971 to then little bits here and there, but we've been waving to each other no matter what, and it's flowing together now too. It's so good to have you here. It's wonderful. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and then I was reading just to give people little parts of metaphoric participatory agility. You know, it's really a strong thing in Rachel Pollack's work. So there's just two little things I wanted to. In this fantabulous, pertinent to us now work of Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack, just a little random excerpt. That's when the society took shape for the Trano ghost healers, as they called themselves. What a good idea! Understood that these manufactured machines were not robots at all. They were the elementary particles of desire. She's writing very radically about cancer and metaphoric approaches to everything and participatory and just these bold ideas, just, you know, and then just here's something just random because I just thought it was like, you know, in that chapter also. Over the years, she found a few, including a lover, Hermes Tree, whose penis was so cleverly inscribed it displayed Orphic love poetry when collapsed. But when it opened up, those same markings became part of detailed alchemical diagrams, what Hermes Tree called the nanocodes of creation. I go, that is so trippy. did you know this work, or you knew mostly her tarot work?
I mostly know her tarot work because, they republished her book, The Forest of Souls, A Walk Through the Tarot, which is these wild, amazing journeys, spreads and questions that she asks the universe about creation and soul, and, you know, rather than the mundane questions that we normally ask in tarot. So the whole book is like exploring the potential and possibility of what learning we can achieve through the tarot cards.
That is so great. Right, again, reconnecting with you, and then also just watching Rachel Pollack on YouTube and reading her fantastic work. We're offering some of it, but what you just referenced is like, oh yes, that too, right? Just the right approach. It's feeling such kinship that these beautiful power of symbols so important now, you know, to be truly liberated. I mean, her, like, you know, as you know, our chart today, you know, has 6+ Capricorn rising, which is a fun Sabian. It's seized by the divine, a powerful hierophant, you know, leads a group public ritual, and we're like, okay, why not? And what Rachel said also about, you know, many ways to interpret tarot, but, you know, when you get to the hierophant, no need to be grumpy. It's part of oneself. You don't need to cast it as adversarial. Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to tell people that she still speaks. If you go to any of her tarot books, but especially the Shining Tribe tarot deck that she did, the text that goes with it is an oracle in its own right. So normally, many of us that read tarot say, you know, you can get rid of the books, you can just relate to the images. But in that particular case, you not only have the images, but you also have these wonderful ruminations by Rachel and these short poetic pieces that can be linked together through the cards and the spread that enlighten the situation perfectly.
Yes, no, that's it's great. And I was listening to her while walking in the woods with the dogs as well, going, ooh, it's all humming, like the power of radio and this show, Visionary Activist Show, just not to belabor on top of the thing, but I have such enthusiasm for our gatherings here. part of the great good luck is like, oh, I get to. We want to change, you know, I've got to I get to. Even a little, might be a little cheesy, I get to do my taxes. I got to get to. And I really did feel like, oh, I get to do this show. I get to explore allies and pertinent contributors that we're all so grateful for. You know, how wonderful. And, you know, and just starting off again with you and with Rachel Pollack, I go, ooh, this is, you know, long, deep dive. This is the beginning. And I'm hoping that our proffering to everybody of the Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack, which is dazzling and liberating in so many powerful literal and metaphoric ways, that it will also for everyone be the beginning of like, ooh, let me follow this path, you know, where does this go? Even the first story, the woman who didn't come back, you know, in the old days when a woman died, she returned to life after 9 days. And it's, I'll read it later when, you know, but it's like every day this is what you do for the dead. And it's like, oh, it's really rollicking. It's kind of Terry Pratchett-ish in a witchy way. But I did find her birthday, as you did, and you said she was a, you know, Leo. I found that, you know, but Leo mm-hmm. rising. Maybe. I mean, yes. But I did
yes,
want to
just
bring
this up.
Yes, I did
check it out.
Oh, okay, cool.
It is Leo rising, so, although we don't have the time.
Right. So when I don't know, I just do the noon chart, which is also pretty wonderful. But just to bring it up and to tease for all of us how everyone carries a crucial truth of expanded, liberating tolerance. And looking at Rachel's chart, she has an exact Mars-Uranus conjunction in Gemini, both of them at 16 Gemini, and we go, right, dual, trans, cross borders, power of the messenger, and that particular degree is all about shape-shifting, and it's like, oh, well done, right? I mean, don't you love it when with somebody's tarot spread or their chart and they're doing so well, I like to say to people, your chart is so happy with you, right? Her bold self. And then just for fun, she has two of my favorite degrees, and we'll turn it over to you and tarot in a moment, your favorites, and maybe we'll pull a card. But her only earth planet is Jupiter, principle of curiosity and journeying and blessing, at 28 plus Virgo. And I love the symbol for that degree. In a cave overhung with twisted roots, a seeker pores over the glowing pages of an illuminated alchemical manuscript. And it's like, oh, isn't that great?
Oh, Rachel would love that.
Oh, hi, Rachel. Hi, Rachel. I'll do ceremony for you. Invite you to the Tea Party for Dead People, which is kind of what radio can be. And then my other favorite degree that she has is Pluto at 10 Leo. Karen Sanders has something there, lots of people. It's very literal and wonderful. It's in children swinging underneath the shade of a huge oak tree, the borrowed strengths of all animistic traditions reaching into nature mysticism. And it's like, love that. And then just her Jupiter quintiles Venus, you know, and I'm thinking that, you know, everything can be used for ill or not, but I'm very magnetized by the quintile, the 72 degree angle being described by Sylvia Hanley, hi there, as the capacity to open portals between worlds. So that's what she was doing or is doing now, and that's also what you do. And do you have a favorite tarot card? I've been dusting off all of mine. Thank you for agreeing to do this show because I excavated an ancient tarot deck. But is there a card that wants to speak to us now?
Oh, well, that's different than favorite tarot card.
Oh, no, wait. Well, actually, wherever you want to go.
Well, what I do want to say is about the Shining Tribe, which was originally Shining Woman Tarot, because the world card is the Shining Woman. And I do have a little story I have to tell you, which is that in June, when I was in upstate New York where she lived, everything was lush and green. And we went to her gravesite, and the cemetery there was just, the grass was full green, except her gravesite, which had patches of brown through it because she had been recently buried in the Jewish tradition, just wrapped in a cloth and put in the ground. And so the grass hadn't fully grown back yet. And I took a couple of pictures there. And when I looked at it later, I realized that those brown patches formed the shape of the Shining Woman on her Shining Tribe deck. And I've shown it to many, many people who immediately, even without my saying, recognize it and say, that's Shining Woman. It naturally grew that way. And then as I was standing there with this, you know, picture, which I didn't think to raise my camera because the breeze came up, which it had been doing every once in a while, nice on a hot day, and all the green trees around us, and these tiny little golden leaves started to fill the sky. I was there for over an hour, and it just did it that one time, just after I had taken the picture of the gravesite. Filled the sky with these dancing, tiny golden leaves. Where they came from, I have no idea, because everything else was lush and green and moist.
No, it's again your dedicated work and Rachel's. You know, as we decondition, team, decondition, decolonize. You know, what we hope is true, you know. Yeah. Not, you know, it's not always there, but those moments that you describe, you know, it's like, everything is speaking to us. And then I do want to toss it back to you, but just the resonance between 1971, just for fun, you know, when you and me and Rachel and many people sort of did our deep dedication, which is continuing. But part of that is looking at it, it was the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, the power of symbols and stories, that conjunction coming alive now. And then also what we have now and then is the powerful conversation between Taurus and Libra, the two Venuses, you know, that we each dedicate to being cultural agents on behalf of what we love in nature. And so now let me hand it back to you. Yeah, favorite card or pull a card? Favorite card first, if I, yeah.
Yeah, I'll pull a card. I didn't pull out my Shining Tribe deck, so I'll just take it from a Rider-Waite that happens to be here. And the card for the moment, the Two of Wands. The Two of Wands and the Rider-Waite shows a man dressed kind of like a merchant or a merchant prince standing at the balustrade top of a castle keep, holding in his right hand a globe of the earth and looking out over a bay with mountains at his back, as if he's looking forward into the rest of the world, holding in his left hand one wand, another wand is fixed to the balcony that he's standing on. And it's as if he's standing at this doorway at the top of the castle, looking out. Some people said it's like Alexander looking over all the known world, and he's just conquered it all and wondering what he does next. But for most people, it's kind of like, you know, what are my next possibilities? Where am I going? And my sense, talking to Rachel on the other side, both through her cards and just our, you know, personal situation, is that she's out there moving on in this kind of delightful dance. So, and for me, looking at it, the Two of Wands, we're standing here at an opening in time, both the earth, here we are standing, it feels like to me, at the juncture of an entire new world. And it's up to us what we're going to make of it. And so she stepped out into another realm, another world, which I firmly believe from the contacts that I've had. While we're still here, looking forward with what we're going to make with this new juncture of the world at this time.
That is what's so radical about what I've been reading in Rachel's book, and I want to read everything, I want to read everything, I want to get her tarot, Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack. You know, it's radically liberating about death, about everything. But, you know, we read many things going, yes, yes, I hope that's true, but this is like, there's power to her words, to her language craft, right? I mean, she knows so much. She's opening portals, right? And I guess still,
yes,
in what you say. And listening to her tarot, I love that she said the Queen of Pentacles is the happiest queen. Look at her, because there's no king and there's no castle. It's very cute. And then she's very liberating to everybody, to that we understand the trans community as essential, the ancient trannies, she calls them, you know, you know, the real revolution, you know, the trans community as essential to the magic. The transgender magic is part of, you know, what was, you know, her talk on YouTube, and it suffuses everything. I'm so inspired to do more. Right, that's what it is. That I'm just like, okay. And our time here and maybe there is precious, you know. So that's great. So I saw her lecture on the fool and the world, and the fool is androgynous, everything possible. And the world, yes. The character is hermaphroditic, you know, fully realized. And I was remembering also in 1970, okay, there were, that's when Fellini's Satyricon came out, this very trippy, radical dream of a movie. I don't know if you saw it. But it ends.
I remember the name, but I can't remember. Well, you just
described it. It's all talking to us now, because it's the old world. It's the old world, and then just as you described the Two of Wands, they set sail for the new world, and it's full of, you know, trans and complex and griffins and shapeshifting beings, and you know, women with fire coming out of their vaginas, and it's the hermaphrodite, and that's Fellini, and it goes off on this boat into the new world. And you know, for those of us who were just beginning to get, you know, high in high school in 1970, it was like, wow. And you just kind of brought it back with the tarot card as well, and we go, oh, that's very, very trippy. And also, I'm going to leave it to you to, I know you couldn't stay all the time with us, and I must do dedicated pitching, but I hope this is the beginning. I want to keep this going, Mary Greer. Let me just pull a card, and maybe you can comment on it. That's right, Tiresias, also, too, the prophet, the seer, was a man and a woman. It goes on and on. Liberating the mythology, liberating tarot, liberating everything. All right, so I'm going to pick a card for us from a deck I bought in 1971 at the store next to the British Museum. It's the Royal Fez Moroccan Tarot. There are 500 made, of which this is 116. Oh, the Ace of Swords. What do you want to say about the Ace of Swords?
Oh, the Ace of Swords is the two sides of everything, because it's the double-edged sword. I'm not sure in that deck, usually it is a double-edged sword.
Well, I'm going for it. It's got a crown and it's got laurel on it. I think it's Victory Team. Yeah. I think it's the sword we see on the Statue of Freedom on top of the Capitol. And the only other Statue of Freedom in America is on the top of the Georgia State Capitol, and her sword is the Ace of Swords. It's unsheathed, and it's not a sword of harm. It's a sword of justice. I'm going for this. And in Verroque, in Wisconsin, that I now have a new fondness for, thanks everybody there. Just great. You know, I always ask, you know, about the statues. It's like, what's the statue on top of the Wisconsin, you know, in Madison? And they're like, oh, you know, I didn't notice her. Oh, it's Badger Woman. It's a woman with a sword and a badger on her head, and a globe and whatever. It's like, let's bring all these things alive. We need them. We need them all. So that's super wonderful. We've been too fascinating. Anonymous chopped in, and Anonymous is such a reliable, donor. Do you have pressing engagements? Must you go?
Yeah, I pretty much have to.
No, let's keep it rolling. Let's do this again. Absolutely. Definitely. Wonderful. That's our great ally, Mary Greer. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So this is the Visionary Activist Show, Caroline Casey. We've been too fascinating, apparently. But now let's just the magic, the power of dedication. You know, whatever we dedicate to is how synchronicity will speak to us. You know, and so this gathering that we have, you know, here at the Visionary Activist Show every Thursday for 27 years, you know, many ways. I like the ongoing theme in play of, you know, anarcho, entheo, astro, animism. That's right. They all belong together. And it's like, oh, right. All these different parts of us gliding into place. You know, and always the etymology of words, you know, really it's the archaeology of words that takes us back to what's liberating. Keep going. You know, our word desire comes from desidere, which means from the stars. And it's like, right, it's all talking to us. So, you know, there are bonus enticements. So I do want to encourage people, again, the Beatrix, well, to give any amount, really, whatever amuses you, whatever is dedicated, whatever might have a symbolism to it, you know, 500, you know, whatever. We have thank you gifts, right? But really, it's the dedication that is a powerful thing. You know, each one of our dedication hums dedication in others, and that's dedication is the tiller that steers our boat. You know, it's the tiller that steers the show and the thing. But for each one of us, you know, what are we dedicating to, and how do we define wealth? You know, Saturn quintiles Jupiter, all over the place, and. In Rachel's chart and in our chart right now too, which is define wealth, craft the vessel, you know, and we will fill it. So for everybody, does wealth include, you know, this place of community conversing and information and expanded realms of response? To react to anything is not free. To cultivate an ever-expanding repertoire of responses is to align with nature's evolutionary genius. We want all of our skills to be quickened. I mean, we're all in this dream together. It's like, who brought what? And how can we participate? And believe nothing, entertain possibilities, but experiment, experiment, experiment. Trickster Uranus is nature's evolutionary, you know, experimental genius that has no category of success-fail, but it's like, try that, try that, try that, try that. Nope, try that. Nope, try that. And that's for all of us to feel where there's the electrical response, you know, where the lightning upwells from the earth to meet down. And, you know, in listening to the talk that I gave in Viroqua, Wisconsin, it was really a community event. It was a real community event. And I realized that, you know, just putting things out that are important to practice, the whole theme of, you know, dissolving grievance in our hearts and dissolving it out of collective human befoibled mind, because tyranny runs on grievance. Like, so we're going to play just a very short little practice from the equinox on, it's track number one, on dissolving grievance. Here we go. I don't have grievance. And it's like, that person did that mean thing several years ago, and I'll never listen to that radio station. Whatever the thing is. And it's one of those things where I was driving down the road and then just going, the fate of the world requires humans dissolving grievance out of their hearts. So we're going to do that now. Why not? Dream big, play fair. You know, the power of this gathering to start things that, you know, that everybody can take home and, you know, practice this at home, right? But it's in keeping with Neptune. It's, you know, solve a coagula, dissolve and reimagine. Dissolution is the secret of the great work. So with this, just feel in one's heart where we are willing to just dissolve all of that. Dissolving all little minding of who did what, you know, all of that. Dissolving, letting it go. I'm finding that dissolving grievance is a good practice, and it's not a one-time thing. It's like, whew, as part of our many ways of participating. And there's music and metaphor as incarnational garb, whereby power enters the world and opens portals and all. And then just to give you a feel for, the what we're offering, just as a thank you, Rachel Pollack. Oof, what a great being. Her last book before she died on April 7th, 2023, Beatrix Gate, for a pledge of $100 by calling 800-439-5732. And again, breathtaking. Here's just another quote from, the short story too. Annie could see cancer in a different way because she understood desire. Now, remember, sidebar. Desire, desidere, means from the stars. The desire to die and the desire to live entwined like two snakes around a tree older than the world. This is the Trano secret, that we're not just willing to die, we long for it passionately as a pathway to life. And then she goes off into the Caduceus and Tiresias and all the mythological figures who are twin-souled and twin beings and shape-shifting and are metaphoric participatory agility. So we're, we're wishing, that's magnetizing, that when you contribute to this show and this station, KPFA, and this is the last fund drive for this show this time, so let's make it fun and effective, right? So that's why, we're offering the Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack for a pledge of $100. We're offering the Equinox Address just for a thank you of $50, and so many other things. The Occult Features of Anarchism by Erica Lagalis, really great for a pledge of $100, or Mutual Aid by Kropotkin, beautiful, beautiful book, for a pledge of $150. Or all of those, by calling 800-439-5732 or online at kpfa.org. There's so many ways to play, and this is so crucial. I mean, we know that, the experiment of democracy and therefore democratic animism and humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius, or tyranny, authoritarianism, and death. Now we want to transcend polarity, right? But we're the unifying story. Remember, John Michael Greer says, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, you will only get heat, right? And then we add, in an already too overheated world, what two needs is three, which is the unifying story. Here we all are. And whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. That's why we don't want to be judgy. We want to be discerning and spicy and critical and satirical, full of parody and irony, but not judgment, which is imprisoning and therefore serves authoritarianism. So these are practices that we, aspire to and hold ourselves to, and the sacredness of money. Let's work on that, dissolving the spell of that it's a sacred thing. It is an act of dedication, and any act of dedication, inward with an outward expression, strengthens our signal. So we're more likely to be danced into accord with the larger thing we're a part of. So it's all participatory. It's like we pledge to a station that is about community participation, to a show, Visionary Activist Show, that has people here who are dedicated to participation with all of our skills. It's just micro, micro, fractal, 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 onward, and it resonates. Radio resonates, the invisible airwaves out there. And then what happens on this show, Visionary Activist Show, is people connect, and they do things. The show continues even when it's off the air. So for now, all of these things, what is one's definition of wealth? Well, I think for me, cahooting here, this is one, to have places to gather, and exchange information. And, and again, as David Grimes says, if we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough. He said that to me as I was about to go on the air after George W. Bush had won the second election. I was like, I can't get off the floor. And he's like, radio, you owe it to the team. I'm like, you're right. Right? So we do owe it to the team of nature, whatever we're doing, to dedicate to. There is such humming and beauty available. And I just want to give to everybody now for fun. you know, and then we will be even more magnetic. But you know, feel beside you, hanging in a metaphoric imaginary bag off of everybody's belt right now. You go, why? There's a bag here. Ooh, and it's very lively. Ooh, it's a bag of liberating lightning. Ooh, okay. And this is a party favor. Here we go. We're just going to play the very short clip 2 of Liberating Lightning. Reach into your bag, everybody, and participate. Here you go. Bag of Liberating Lightning. To hurl at any closed circle to liberate it into a spiral, right? So it's from Stella Coyote, who set the whole shebang going with Liberating Lightning. Nah. Okay, so everybody, you can practice. Try this at home. Try this at home. Take this home and practice it. Okay, team, you all have a party favor to practice with, a bag of liberating lightning. And I also realized at the Equinox Council, we can turn the liberating lightning on ourselves, right? Whenever we go, oh my God, I'm so bored with this part of myself. So we want to practice that. So, team, you know, thank you, Anonymous. Oh, that's very wonderful. Anonymous in Richmond, Pledge for the Beatrix Gates by Rachel Pollack, Viva la Visionary Activist Show. Wonderful. Okay, we're moving. We're moving now. I can feel it, right? So the bag of liberating lightning, metaphoric, participatory, you know, crucialness, ways to play, you know, metaphors and action, right? They go to visionary activist. It's beginning to make sense to me now. You know, it's like there's a great shot of the Capitol being struck by lightning, and we go, oh, good, right? Okay. remember, you know, one of our guests, Neil Douglas Klotz, Aramaic scholar, says the word, what gets translated as the word evil in Aramaic, it means unripe. And we go, oh, well, what do you do with unripe things? You put them in a brown paper bag. So liberating lightning is good. And then we can also imagine, you know, just a giant brown paper bag descending over the state capitals everywhere, just to ripen and compost evil. That's, a fun idea. So here we are. And then I just want to, you know, entice people as Anonymous was enticed. Oh, and thank you, Leslie in Oakland, in gratitude to Portal Peering Peers' invitations to the dance. Yes, thank you, Caroline, Mary G., and Rachel. Perfect. That is completely right. And a magic number you pledged to. Oh, wonderful. You know, Anonymous in Sonoma County. That's so wonderful for the Anarcho Entheo Astro Animist Equinox Address. Very wonderful. We're rolling now. This is really great. And also in Rachel's book, high recommendations about what to do with people who are dead, and our whole attitude about death and illness, and how do we participate, and the essential magic of the transgender community. Yes, and her delineating that, and whatever we're dedicated, it never comes to an end. And then all those things, I throw the notes away and come back to us here. But just to give you a little enticement, oops, there we go. I'm juggling many screens here. There we go. So the woman who didn't come back, just a little bit. In the old days, when a woman died, she returned to life after 9 days. On the first day after her death, her friends laid her body on her bed. They tied ribbons around the hands and feet and placed a stone over the mouth. Then they would sit around the bed as silent as their dead sister. Those who were bored or sore or hadn't liked the dead woman very much told themselves they would need the same thing done for them someday, and they kept sitting. You know, just a little smidge here. On the second day, they got up and cooked their first hot food in 24 hours, and when they were sitting around, when they were sitting around the bed again, they began to speak, telling what they knew about the woman. They told of favors she'd done them, fights they'd had with her. Just to interject and interweave all of us too, these small acts and large acts of dedicated generosity are so wonderful. Feeling a little down the other day, just I hadn't eaten, smelled good coffee, went into a coffee shop, you know, medical building, I had an appointment, you know, and the woman behind the counter says, oh, do you have cash? And I go, oh, let me see. And this beautiful, I will remember her forever, just, you know, black woman medical person behind me says, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. She goes, no, no, you've done so much good in the world. Let me buy it for you. I'm like, what a great line. Okay, that's great. You know, it's the phrase, you know, some stranger remembers you because you were kind to them. So we're also dedicated to spiciness and blessing and kindness. What is the antonym of grievance? You know, kindness. And I've come to, you know, always work in this material, like, well, what is grievance? So everybody, autonomy is a sacrament. But for me, it's like, well, anything that is an impediment to blessing can be spicy blessing, right? It's informed about everything that's sketchy and creepy, but gonna wish it well. Because critique without vision is complicitous with dominance. And that's part of our dynamic here. So, team, we offer many thank you gifts, 800-439-5732. We have The Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack, but it's a book, it's a mind-opening, liberating, rollicking profundity, you know, rollicking comes from frolic and romp. It's a wonderful thing, whereby to address obstreperousness, another great word. Let's circulate that out there. You know, what is the antidote? So the more words, the more participation, the more images, the more ways we have to participate in the world. So encouraging, magnetizing, there we go. We have The Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack for a pledge of $100, the Equinox address for a donation of $50, there you go, and many, many other great things, right? You know, Mutual Aid, Essential Reading by Kropotkin for a pledge of $150, Occult Features of Anarchism, brilliant, brilliant, fabulous, fabulous. We featured it before for a pledge of $100. So any or all of those things, or any amount that you want to pledge, 800-439-5732. Oh, I'm being very moved by myself. Excuse me. I'm moved, but not to Whaley Whaley, because nobody's calling. No, no, Whaley Whaley. We compost Whaley Whaley into magnetizing enticement team. You know, it's often the same people who pledge, bless their hearts, but unexpectedness. There's no prison for the unexpected. Just to feel, you know, in oneself going, why? It would be unexpected. I would be surprised by myself if I called 800-439-5732 or pledged online at kpfa.org. Some fun amount. There, that would be surprising. No prison for the unexpected. You know, to hurl liberating lightning at ourselves, like, well, where are we tight or churlish or not participatory or whatever, we go, and then we have gongs. So in the Equinox address, you know, you get, you know, a riff, right, a Carolingian riff. Pretty useful, pretty brewing of many things together. But also just these moments, I'm going to listen to it too, going, now it is time to dissolve grievance, whew, whereby to withdraw complicity and dominance. And then in that talk also, there's also a point where we all throw dominance and cruelty into the cauldron so it's no longer in the human repertoire. It's like, well, you know, maybe not just one time, but if we keep working it so that tyrants go, where's dominance and cruelty? I know I put it somewhere. It's like it's gone. It's gone. Again, playing in these realms, experimenting, going willing to, and seeing where we get a corresponding synchronicity. You know, again, whatever we're dedicated to is how synchronicity will speak to us. We are the agents of synchronicity, you know, being danced into place. And community radio, Pacifica, KPFA, Visionary Activist Show are places that increase synchronicity. I'm going for that. It is my experience. So if you are willing to have synchronicity increase, oh, thank goodness, how Art and Hildberg, I love you, Art. That's wonderful. The Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack, that's really great. That's really great. Dissolving unadvisably taken wooden nickels and exchanging them for new paradigms at the rate of 4 wooden nickels per, whatever you're doing. I believe you, and thank you so much. We want to engage in reciprocal blessing. You know, and, you know, you're pledging to this show, Visionary Activist Show, to keep it going, and also KPFA, and also all the team. It's a great team. there's backstage team, there's the fantastic board ops. I love them. All equal, all part of this dynamic. So, you know, so follow Art and Healdsburg's lead. That's very kind. That's very kind. And also, yes, there we go. So let's keep this rolling. I think we have there's a hum. People can feel the hum going, yes, I have an enthusiasm. I get to move to the phone and call 800-439-5732. Be like the Queen of Pentacles, right? No castle, no king, just nature and dedicating to the station that she loves. There you go. All of the allies. And for all the ancestors and for everything to give voice to, there is a powerful pattern now. Let me delineate it and magnetize more people. Right now, cool thing, I'll say it, there's what's called a yod, and it's Venus in Leo, outward expression of inward thing grants power, with 150 degree to Pluto at the degree of America's Pluto return. You can have a democracy, says Pluto, only if you look at everything, deep delving detective work, and including some of the things that we've forgotten that are good things as well. The spirited quality of utopian practiced idealism in this country, that's important, as well as the corruption and creepitude. So Venus to Pluto, on one side, and Venus to Neptune. If we wed the power of creative imagination and symbols and symbolic languages, again, like, you know, tarot and divination and astrology, in their deepest, most radical sense, they were part of social change. The Illuminati, not YouTube, you know, bankers, you know, no, revolutionaries, dedicated anarchists. This is where we are. A station and a show dedicated to de-bamboozling. And it's so wonderful to be de-bamboozled. Oh, thank you, Anonymous, in Sonoma. That's great to be de-bamboozled. I mean, don't we really all love when we get struck by liberating lightning, even from ourselves, and go, oh, I was wrong. I've changed my mind. It's really fun. Like, there's no more greater fun, really, than being with people to be able to speak truthfully and a little edgily, but with a kind heart. See, that's the deal, right? And the other person to take it and dance. And it's like, oh, it's just the best. And we want to whoosh, broadcast this. We want to broadcast while we're broadcasting, but we want to broadcast this so that each person is like a broadcasting beam going, you know, and to say, you know, to dedicate to how we want to be. What is the quality of, you know, what we want to feel like and what we want to feel like to others? This is constant practice. This is constant practice. Thank you again, Anonymous. There we go. Okay, whoops. Oh, there we go. Okay, let's keep this rolling. We're doing good. We've got even some momentum. So the yod is a very specific pattern. It's like a sword and a stone, meaning if you don't work it, it's just edgy. It's like, oh, money and power and, you know, delusion. But what do those want to be? It wants to be the power of participating, that the metaphors and the creative desire and the creative community want to incarnate into actual social change, to dream, participate in dreaming and acting the world into being. Visionary activism, you know, I don't even call myself a visionary activist. It's an aspiration. So to aspire, you know, to be part of this dance, you know, do feel you get to call 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. And we have thank you gifts, you know, as enticements, but worthy, relevant ones. You know, I said that when I was reading The Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack, I was gasping with like, liberated joy. Like, that is so bold. That is so, you know, to read what she's been writing, it's like it liberates part of us going, it's like a wonderful friend of mine calling up going, how's the writing going? And I go, I'm trudging. And he goes, well, then you're just not writing wild enough. It's like, oh, yeah, edit later. And for all of us right now, it's like, let's hum. So what would it mean to activate this yod? It's sort of like an astro pledge, right? It's like if we dedicate our creativity to cultural transformation and social justice and inclusivity and all of those things to which this station and this show is dedicated, and humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius, yay, Janine Benyus, and biomimicry, it's the crucial, the sine qua non for life on this planet. is, again, humbly cooperating. And there's a very specific pattern. So imagination, you know, and is a form of participation that then actual, you know, leads to actual action and then around again. The other thing that's really crucial that I mentioned to Mary is this beautiful conversation within us and within culture between Libra and Taurus, the two Venusian realms. Taurus is the realm of participatory animism, everything's alive and great respect, you know, all of that. And Libra is the cultural realm. And part of the dedication of this show is to be a cultural participant on behalf of what we love in nature over and over again, right? And that's the crucial partnership. And for each one of us to dedicate to being cultural agents on behalf of something in nature that we love, that we form a treaty and a partnership with, partnering. You know, so, you know, KPFA partners with its listening, its dynamic listening participant audience. There we go. Right. So we love that. So waiting for the pun. Somebody else, I think Art pledged again. No, I'm confused. Hope we get a greater listening audience, says Anonymous. Well, let's do that. Let's do that. Art pledged again. That's very cute. So you can pledge again, 800-439-5732. Well, to the person who says, hope we get a greater listening audience, it's fantastic. Anonymous again. It's like, let's see that, right? Let's see this dedication spiraling into a magnetizing, expanded audience with windfalls of wherewithal. So there's no distracting crisis, so that money is an ally rather than we want to insource our Saturn authority. Oops, I better get back on track with the phone numbers here. So do call 800-439 if you feel like it. Do feel like it. Do feel that you get to call 800-439-5732 or pledge online at kpfa.org. Many, many cool things that you can have. But the thank you gifts that we're proffering, about which I have boundless enthusiasm, is the book Beatrix Gate by Rachel Pollack for a pledge of $100, my Equinox address for a pledge of $50, and then many, many other things that you know about by calling 800-439-5732. Or pledging online, kpfa.org. The woman who returned and the complex themes about death, and it's again really great just to tease us a little bit here. Oh no, never mind. You'll have to wait. You'll have to read it. You'll have to read the fantastic book, The Beatrix Gate, yourself at this point. 800-439-5732. And beautiful segue from Mitch Jezrich in the show before, his deep, profound Chuang Tzu self. And it leads right into Rachel Pollack's work about our metaphoric, our liberating metaphoric shape-shifting, even and especially in addressing pain. And how, you know, magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. What does that mean? You know, for humans to cultivate the capacity to cooperate and to participate is so crucial right now. So, come on, team, 800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. Pledge for Liberating Lightning, which you already have received and can use efficaciously at oneself as well. Okay, thanks always to Kirsten Thomas. I'm Caroline Casey. We'll reconvene next week. Woof. Woof. Keep calling.